Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, where wealth strategies and investment wisdom collide, featuring your distinguished host and certified financial planner, Bart Zandbergen.
Welcome to the Zandbergen Report, a showcase for wealth strategies and investment wisdom that's essential for our evolving world. I'm your host, Bart Zandbergen. Paul, you need to be really nervous today.
I was. You know, you as often, you bring in very, you know, attractive people here, good-looking people here, and I thought, well, she must do something. She's an interior designer, or she's something that's very artistic. And then she tells me she does, like, you know, investigations. I'm worried here.
Private investigation. Oh. So we have with us today a very special guest,
Mark. We got the Rockford Files today. No, I'm dating myself.
Well, you're
here,
whatever.
what's an earlier?
So we have Maki Kudaka. She's with Kudaka Investigations. Maki, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Bart. Thank you for having me. Thank you, Paul.
Of course.
Before he jumps in, are there really real-life stories of, like, Sam Spade? I'm going to go back into the 40s. There was Sam Spade, the private detectives that are always looking for the what the cops can't find or something here, or is it just more mundane than that?
Oh, no. They're all exciting and fun stuff.
Yeah, the show today is all stories.
Okay. All right. I'm going to sit back and listen. Here we go.
All right. Mike, I'm going to fill everybody in a little bit about who you are, and then I'm going to have you fill in the gap.
Sure.
But Kudaka Investigations is a full-service, licensed, and insured private investigations firm based out of Orange County. Maki has an extensive background in the private investigation and legal industry. She was the vice president of a large private investigation firm based out of San Diego. And prior to a career as a private investigator, Maki worked as a certified paralegal, where she gained the knowledge and experience as a meticulous legal researcher. I'm glad it was meticulous, Maki, not just illegal. She graduated with honors from USC with a BA in political science and a minor in East Asian studies. And Maki serves on the board and was vice president of administrations of CALI, California Association of Licensed Investigators. That's a lot going on. I had no idea you were that deep.
See, I fooled you.
You did fool me.
I fooled a lot of people.
So I don't think I've ever shared this with you, and Paul doesn't know this, but I think either in a prior life and or if I wasn't a financial advisor, I would be either an investigator or like an FBI agent, because I just love that stuff.
Yeah, you can play the part.
I can't wait for your stories. So why don't you tell the audience kind of how you got to be an investigator? What led you there?
Sure. Well, I consider myself a professional snoop. I love to dig and research and prove people wrong. Or prove people right.
Yeah.
I, as you stated, I was a certified paralegal, and I loved doing legal research, and I actually wanted to become an FBI agent, but living in Orange County, South Orange County, I didn't want to move to Virginia for 6 months for training and then have the possibility of being shipped out all over the world, so I decided to take my chance as a private investigator and got my break in a large investigations firm in San Diego, as you mentioned, and went and did the grunt work, was a field investigator, and I loved it, and I stuck with it, and almost 6 years ago, I've been an investigator for 10 years now,
yeah.
And it'll be 6 years this year that I've started my firm, and I just love my job, I love doing the research, I love doing the digging, and it's not all glamorous,
yeah,
and it's not what you see on TV. sometimes, especially when you're sitting in the car, a parked car, for a long time during surveillance. But it is exciting. Every day is different. I love my job.
Yeah, well, you mentioned something before. We'll get to that later. But dumpster diving—that's part of the job.
Oh yeah, I can't look like this, Paul, when I do the dumpster dive. You can find a lot about people when you dump in their trash or when you dive in their trash. As investigators, we're paid professionals to find facts. We're fact finders. So yeah. You know what you discard in trash is all. It tells all about a person.
Yeah.
For the most part. But it's a great way to get to know somebody. I mean, some people do discard their trash and they can shred it, but you can find a lot of, you know, mail or, you know, personal belongings, drug paraphernalia, whatever the case may be, and you can find out a lot about people when you do the dumpster diving. You just need to get some tent or some
don't know if you could hear it, but outside our studio, the trash truck was backing up. I could hear the beep, beep, beep. And I thought, I hope he's throwing mine away here right now.
That's our next step, Paul. Paul dumpster diving. So, Maki, what are the type of cases that you normally work on?
Well, I do a lot of surveillance. I also do background investigations, which includes social media investigations, as well as criminal defense and civil, such as business litigation and family law related cases.
Okay. Yeah, the family law, I know we've talked about before, so those can get pretty hairy, huh?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
I'm sure you deal with a lot of those type of cases or clients.
I have those kind of clients, but I never get to that level. I never really get to see what happens.
Sure.
So on the background check, so mm-hmm. what kind of people are hiring you for a background check?
It could be large firms wanting to recruit somebody or an employee, potential employee, or it could be a father curious to find out who their daughter's dating.
Oh, yeah?
It could be a woman who's going to marry somebody, or vice versa, a rich man. Yeah. Wanting to marry a woman with not too many or very secretive past. So yeah. I mean, it could be, I work with people in the private sector as well as private companies as well as the private individuals.
Yeah.
So it can be anybody.
Okay. So there's got to be certain laws and limitations. I know you and I have talked about that before. So mm-hmm. how far can you go? How far can you push it without crossing the line of invasion of privacy, I guess?
Well, now with going back to the pre-employment or background, we can get access to any public records. So basically, juvenile records we're not able to obtain, but we can get any civil records, criminal history. For employment, you're not able to ask specific questions like, are you a felon or have you been convicted of this and that? But we, as long as we don't cross the line as far as invading, for example, we cannot run somebody's credit report without their authorization. So if an employer has their the potential candidate's authorization, we can run the credit. But we're not able to do so without the prior authorization. And also, during surveillance, for instance, we can only record what the public or what the naked eye can see. So, for instance, if I'm working an insurance fraud case, for example, and the subject is the person that we're investigating. If the subject is in their backyard and they're mowing lawn and they claim that they have back injury, but they're mowing lawn, they're riding their skateboard, et cetera, and there's a peephole or some sort of a small opening, we cannot put our video camera into that hole. Does that make sense? We cannot.
Okay.
No. So whatever the naked eye can see. So if you're standing back, 50, 100 feet away, and we can see it in plain sight, then we can record that. But we cannot go over above and beyond to record anything that we see.
All right. So is this crossing the line?
Uh-oh.
So going up to someone's window and like peeking in, then the drapes are open. Is that too far?
It is too far. Was that you outside my window yesterday, Bart?
I'm just saying.
Now I know why you don't do this work, Bart.
I'm really bad at it.
You just leave that to me.
But that's definition. That's naked eye. I mean, right? So what are we missing?
But let's say that you are. That's private property. So if you are going to somebody's private residence, and let's say that you're in your car, for instance, and the curtain's open and you can see it through from your car, that's legal.
Okay.
But if you're stepping over the person's the house,
the hedge,
or the hedge, or the sidewalk, or what have you, then that's crossing the line.
Okay.
That can be considered as invasion.
But come on, you guys. On TV, they're always breaking in. They're always jimmying the lock and doing all this stuff. Come on.
It's not about the glamorous things that you see on TV, Paul. I promise you. We do. I mean, we are governed by the Bureau of Security and Investigative Services in California. So we do have to abide by certain laws. So if we get, I mean, we can do certain things. And sure, there are plenty of investigators out there who are unethical and who goes above and beyond, and to cross that line, they can be penalized. I mean, they can get their license suspended.
Yeah. Okay. So. What's the rules on recording, voice recording?
Audio. You have California, the third party state, so you have to get the person's authorization. So you cannot record without their consent.
Okay.
So if you're on a phone conversation, you do have to get their consent to record.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Is that otherwise? Is it illegal or just inadmissible?
Well.
Or is that both?
Both.
Okay.
It could be both.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Definitely inadmissible in court.
Yeah.
So
audio recordings are not admissible in court anyway, I thought, because they're easily doctored and edited.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, same with video as well. So you just need to. So any investigator, or every investigator, I should say, we need to have or keep the raw footage. So any editing could be misconstrued as editing, or it cannot be or not authentic.
Okay.
So we have to, if we need to cut some parts out for whatever reason, the video is 2 hours long and there's only two seconds of any certain activity, we can shorten it, sure, but we do you always need to keep the raw footage.
Okay.
But, you know, not every case goes to court.
Yeah.
So a lot of cases, especially for private individuals, for infidelity case, for instance, they usually do not go to court.
So let's start talking about those. So
the juicy stuff.
Let's give us a good case study.
Are we going to talk about the Jeff Bezos case here? And that was a famous one where he got caught basically, fooling around on his wife here. And it's led to this bazillion-dollar divorce here.
Right. Well, actually, I wanted to talk about the Paul Roberts case.
Uh-oh. That one's a very complicated
case. But I'll leave that for the end.
So give us a good example, like a really juicy example of a infidelity case.
Okay. Really great case, memorable case that I can remember is we were, myself and a colleague of mine, we went down to San Diego. We went to this exclusive club. And the client was the husband, and he suspected of his wife. She was early 30s. They had a three-year-old together, and the husband, suspected that she was cheating as well as using drugs.
Okay.
And we needed to see he hired us to see if we can do or find out both.
Yeah.
To obtain evidence of both.
Okay.
So what we did was, now I love approaching the subjects and befriend them because that's when you can get a lot of great information.
Yeah.
So what happened was we went inside the club. And on a side note, Paul, do you remember the group back in the 90s called Digital Underground, the Humpty Dance?
Yeah.
So they were performing the night that we went, worked on this
case. So you infiltrated the group and you were singing with them here.
Actually, he grabbed my hand and said, "You are very beautiful." Mm. I kid you not.
Wait, the Digital Humpty?
Uh-huh.
Humpty,
yeah, the hump? Nose guy. Yeah. Anyway, going back to the story.
That's another story.
That's another story.
So what happened was we always have to make sure that it's safe to approach and befriend the subject.
Yeah.
So, of course, in a bar environment, it's great because they're usually drinking and they're usually having fun.
And they wouldn't think that a pretty girl walking up to them is investigating. I mean,
exactly.
I would think that you disarm everybody. You don't look like some big rumpled, Columbo kind of cop here or something.
Cop overweight with a mustache.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
Yeah, with trench coat.
That we can spot a mile away. Here.
Exactly. Yeah, thank you for bringing that up. That's one point that I do want to bring up.
Yeah, we're going to talk
later
about that too.
Okay. So what I did was I befriended the subject, the wife.
The wife.
And the mother.
Yeah.
And my colleague, who is a male, he befriended, after she arrived, she and her girlfriend were there. They were drinking, they were dancing, they were having fun. And come to find out that she met up with a male And they were very chummy. And so we had a hunch that it was her boyfriend. Yeah. And then after they started kissing and dirty dancing, we figured, we had the right guy.
Kind of gave it away there.
Exactly. So my colleague, the male investigator, he befriended the boyfriend.
Okay.
And so as it turns out, the boyfriend, and he had a very distinct name. Anyway, he was a drug dealer. As well as the boyfriend.
Okay, suspicion's true.
Oh, yeah. So we all were partying together.
She knows how to pick him. Okay.
Exactly. So we were dancing, we were having a good time, we were talking, and of course I'm getting all the juicy gossip from the girl. And
Does she just tell you this? Like just, you know, to any, hey, stranger, hey, you know, let me tell you all about how
this is where your creativity have to come in as an investigator.
Okay. I can see Bart's wheel spinning right now.
Well, I'm going to say, once you get to know Maki after about 30 minutes, you can say anything.
Oh, yeah. Well, see, we need to know how to talk as well as ask questions. So, I'm very approachable, and I also like to talk, and I can befriend the rock. So, we were just talking, having a good time. So, the subject and her girlfriend and I, we all went to the restroom. And when girls are in a club, you guys probably don't know this, but we can go into a stall together. If there's a big line.
What?
Especially if it's a big handicap stall, we go into
a I wouldn't go into
together.
A stall with Bart.
Thank you, Paul.
I sure hope not. I'm out of here if you do. I'm just kidding. So we went into the stall, and as I stated, she was by this time telling me where they met, how long they've been seeing each other, what they do, what kind of things they like to do, et cetera, et cetera. Well, lo and behold, she sits on the toilet, she's going to the bathroom, she's going number one, and then she whips out her cocaine out of her purse, so I get the money shot of her doing cocaine while peeing. Excuse me, can I say peeing on the radio?
You just did.
Okay. And so there was great evidence. And then after...
And she stood still while you took her picture? Is she doing this?
Oh, no.
So it's a hidden camera?
I had a hidden camera.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I had a hidden camera.
Yeah.
No audio, of course. Yeah. I cut the audio out. But I did have a video recorder on a hidden camera in my purse, as well as I had my phone. And I was pretending like I was texting.
Yeah.
And I was recording her. So I had two shots.
Yeah.
So, and then we go out, and then we met up with the boys again, and then they invited us to an after party. Well, by this time, we were done partying, quote unquote. So, what we did was we met up with the husband after she took off with the boyfriend and her friend to the after party, and then provided the husband with the evidence that he was looking for.
Wow.
So that case turned out to be, mission completed.
Yeah, mission completed. Wow.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, there's a lot of great infidelity stories. I mean, it's not like, well, I've never seen the show Cheaters, but I know it doesn't go that overboard. But yeah. I mean, you do have to be careful though, because a lot of clients, you know, the suspicious spouses, they want to do a ride along with you when you're on surveillance, chasing their spouse.
Yeah.
So that's not a good idea, because there was a time where you could potentially witness a confrontation. So let's say the husband or the wife sees, you know, in action, they can easily go attack, and they're, you know, that wouldn't be.
That's called the Jerry Springer show. That's a different show.
Exactly.
So
Bart has no idea what to ask next.
Yeah, so
he's stumped.
I'm going to be very careful and choose my first.
Oh, there's another good case if you guys interested.
Let's do it.
Okay. So this case was out in L.A., and I was a little bit intimidated about this case because the person, the subject, the wife suspected her husband, who was a former gang member, and he had a teardrop tattoo on his face.
Uh-oh.
Well, she suspected of him cheating on her friend, on the wife's friend, and they were all friends. So the wife, my client, and the subject, and the girlfriend. Well, her boyfriend was the husband's best friend, and he was in federal prison for murder. So
next case. So you're working on you're trying to investigate a guy who's in a gang, and they're murdering people, and you're going to try and find out if he's cheating or not. Here?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I wouldn't tell. If you found it, I'd say nothing there. Send me my check.
I'm pretty gutsy. Yeah. So what happened was, this was out in L.A., and I was doing surveillance. They met up in the street near a medical center and took one car. I went up to the Hollywood sign, and I was able to follow them having lunch and going up to the Hollywood sign and, you know, hiking and kissing and holding hands, etc. Well, when they were leaving, I lost them in traffic, which happens, you know, quite often due to whatever weather conditions or traffic or what have you. Anyway, so what I did was, since I didn't know where or their whereabouts, I went ahead and parked. Or when I went ahead and went back to where the person who they're cheating with, they're called suspects.
Okay.
So I went back to and parked by the suspect's car. Well, this is, again, in Los Angeles. It was a bad part of L.A. And at the time, I was driving a BMW, and so my car stood out. So what I did was I had to park my car, and I had to dump my car. In the parking lot.
Yeah.
And then so, plus this area was, like I said, it was a kind of a sketchy neighborhood. So, and I couldn't be seen on foot with, you know, camera equipment. So what I did was I found an old car parked in the street. It was a van. It was a black van. I can remember clearly.
You just got in and borrowed it?
I'm sorry?
You just got in and borrowed it, drove off?
Oh, no. Yeah, I can
see, I tell you, she just, whatever it takes. Yeah.
I can hotwire a car. Sure, no problem. So what I did was I noticed that the car had been parked there for quite a bit. It was very dusty, dirty, and just looked vacant, like somebody abandoned it. So what I did was I crawled underneath the vehicle, the van, and I was waiting for them to come back so I can get the quote-unquote the money shot. So
does your mother know you do this?
Oh, yeah. She's very fearful. She's always saying, oh, be careful, please. She thinks I'm out there, you know, killing murder or something. But, yeah, she gets very fearful. I mean, it does get kind of sketchy sometimes, but like I said, I'm pretty gutsy. I was going to say ballsy, but I don't think you can say ballsy on the radio.
That for sure you can't say on the radio.
No, you can't say the word ballsy on the radio.
Sorry, Paul.
Absolutely can't be done.
So I was laying underneath the car. I was sweating bullets. I mean, we're talking gangbangers, right? And in the middle of L.A., east part of town, or bad part of town, and I'm just waiting. I mean, it was probably, I would say, 20, 30 minutes before they came back. But it seemed like it was 5 hours before they came back. So what I did was I had my camera ready. I'm shaking. I'm sweating. And they finally come in the subject's car. They park their car, and they're kissing their goodbyes. And the suspect, the female, suddenly grabs them in the balls.
Again.
Oh, yeah.
Another word.
Sorry.
You can say balls, but not ball Z. That's just a clarification here. Right.
So I got the money shot again. So that turned out to be a great case. I submitted my report and spoke to the client. And, I mean, of course, you know, these type of cases.
Doesn't the guy want to come beat the, you know, living tar out of you here, the daylight out of you here, and threaten
that
you?
That reminds me of another case.
Oh, wait, before we go there, is there like a Pulitzer Prize for private investigators for like the ball shot?
Is that the, like, that's the money shot.
Oh, that's a great idea, Bart.
Who's got the best shot?
Right.
So that was a great case, but another great case. Now
we only got a couple of minutes.
Okay,
here, sorry.
Okay, I'll
make this one fast.
Okay, so infidelity case. This case, the wife hired me. She's suspecting her husband of cheating on her. So I followed him he flew into Ontario from Sacramento. So we went to Ontario, then followed him to Irvine, then to Palm Springs, and then to Yuma, Arizona. And the objective was to determine whether or not he's meeting up with his girlfriend at a hotel. And the client didn't know which hotel he was staying in. Anyway, make a long story short, fast forward. The wife, the client, asked me to approach him and kind of act as bait to see if he would fight. Yeah.
Do you get paid extra to be bait?
I wish. That'd be so rich.
And you get paid by the mile? I'm sorry.
So what I did was, again, I used my...
I want to see your expense reports that you turned
in
here.
Right? So I used my charm. I approached him. He was sitting in the bar watching sports. approached him, befriended him. We hung out. He bit. We went to pool. We went out with the employees. And then, but before that, I had to determine which hotel room he was in. So I jumped in the elevator with him when he checked into the hotel. And then by this time, I was, you know, dressed up. I had a baseball cap, big sunglasses, and wearing shorts and T-shirt. And then after I determined which hotel room he was in, I went downstairs and I got the room across from him so I can see who's coming in and out.
Yeah.
Okay, so fast forward. So the husband, the subject, he and I, you know, we hung out, and he was interested. So that was, you know, mission accomplished again. And so what happened was, after I submitted my report and my videos and my photos and such, the client called me and said, "Maki, you better get all your social media accounts off the internet because he knows exactly who you are and he's pissed."
Yeah, I'll bet.
Yeah, so that was pretty scary.
Coming after you.
Wow. Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I know now you have a stage name, right?
Right.
I can't tell you my stage
name. Don't tell me.
No,
don't tell me. Okay, we're running out of time, so I want to make sure. Hey, you are a female in what I would presume is a male-dominated industry, right?
Absolutely.
So as a business owner, just give us like a minute or two. How tough is that, and how do you accomplish that?
You know what? It's actually, believe it or not, one of my niche of my business is the fact that I'm a female, because I'm very approachable and assuming. Yeah. When I do witness statements or interviews, I'm approachable. And for instance, if I'm interviewing somebody who is, who is a victim of a crime, for instance, you know, they're scared to talk to people, talk to cops or former cops. You know, I'm the person, you know, finding interest, common grounds, building rapport. So, I mean, that works to my advantage. And also the fact that I stand out because I'm a woman and people remember me. Yeah. So I get in
and they don't expect it. So you're disarming. You know,
exactly. Right. And I'm really aggressive and I don't give up.
Yeah.
So, you know, they know that I can get the job done. So. Yeah. It was tough at the beginning, but once I proved to the clients, who are mostly attorneys, once they saw what kind of work I produce, then they started calling me back and referring me out to other attorneys.
Is it mostly infidelity and background checks, or do you do like corporate espionage?
I do corporate investigations.
Debug offices or something?
I don't debug offices, but I do get clients or potential clients who say, "Maki, I need your help. I think somebody is somebody put a bug in my walls, and they're listening to my conversation, and they're going to bomb me, et cetera, et cetera." And usually those potential people turn out to be kind of a
psycho.
Exactly.
They're just hearing voices. Right?
Exactly.
All right, so we're near the end. So, Maki, I have the honor of asking my guests their final thought question.
Okay.
And that question: what is your ultimate lesson learned over your career as a private investigator?
Okay. So
in 2 minutes, sir.
Okay. So the ultimate lesson is this. And the acronym is TOAD. TOAD.
Don't talk about me like that.
Sorry, Bart. So TOAD, T. Think outside the box. One step ahead of the game. A, aggressive. And D, dig. So, you know, you need to think outside the box to become a good investigator, because, you know, not everything fits squarely in a box, and you need to step out from, you know, where you are and think, okay, what is this person going to do? Is this person cheating, or is this person committing fraud? You need to think like them. So what you need to do is you need to do your research, and you need to know them better than their spouses know them or their best friend know them. So you need to get into their head. So it's kind of like psychology almost.
Yeah, yeah.
But you need to do that. You always need to be one step ahead of the game, and you need to outsmart all your colleagues.
Mm-hmm.
You need to just think ahead. And, you know, every investigation that I do, whether it's a small case or it's a huge case, I always do background investigation and social media investigation on all my subjects and suspects and their friends and their family.
Mm-hmm.
So I do a lot of research, because I always have to be in the know. And more information, information is ammunition, right? And you have to be aggressive, and I just don't give up. You can't give up in this industry, because if you do, you won't get any clients, and you won't you want to complete or obtain the goal that you want to do.
Relentless, ruthless.
Oh, yeah.
And Paul, I'm a little worried about maybe the research you did on us.
Oh, my goodness.
And the good thing is we do it with a smile.
Yeah,
right. And then the dig. You just need to dig until you can't dig anymore. Like I said, I like to prove people wrong or prove a point, or, you know, we're a paid fact finder, so we have to do our job. And that's how you become successful in this industry.
So great. Hey, before we leave, how can people reach you? A website, email, phone? What do you got?
Absolutely. My website is www.kudakapi.com. Kudaka is my last name. That's K-U-D as in David, A-K-A-P-I.com. And my cell number is 949-874-4148. And don't worry.
And stage name is?
A.K.A. She said A.K.A., so there's an also known as.
Sorry.
All right, Mikey, thanks a lot. This was a lot of fun.
Thank you so much. It was an honor, you guys. Thank you.
You are the first in 7 years of doing thousands of shows. We've never had a private investigator.
Really? All right.
Have you ever had anyone say ballsy?
Never.
First one in 7.
Thank goodness she can't say that. So.
All right. Thanks so much, everyone who's tuned in. We look forward to be back in studio next week. Cheers.
Tune in next week for the latest edition of the Zandbergen Report, Tuesdays at 2 p.m. Catch up on our recent shows by visiting bartzandbergen.podbean.com. The Zandbergen Report is also available on iTunes, iHeartRadio, and Spotify. Interested in being a featured guest on our show or have a question you'd like to hear us answer? Email podcast@bartzandbergen.com. Bart A. Zandbergen, CFP, and Letitia Burbaum, AIF, are registered investment advisors with Optivest, Inc., and registered representatives with Gramercy Securities, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC. Investment advisory services are offered by Optivest, Inc. under SEC registration.